Go, Brahmananda Hare Krishna. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, is there any way we can have the cartoons off during the? It's a little loud. I mean, having Krishna Katha over the cartoons, isn't it? As much as I like cartoons. So, Om Gana Timidanda Shah Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshuna Miritam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So, I want to thank everybody for coming out in the middle of the week, especially before the hurricane. And you better be prepared for it. So, of course, Janmashtami was last Monday. I don't know if you celebrated on Monday or Sunday. What day did you say? You celebrated on Sunday. So, in India was last Monday. And in North Carolina was last Monday. Sometimes people are too sophisticated, so they calculate for each and every locale. But I think it's better just to celebrate it the day it is in India, because Krishna didn't appear in Philadelphia. And Krishna didn't appear in New York, and Krishna appeared in Mathura Vrindavan. So my feeling is always better to celebrate on the day it is in India rather than get too, you know, sometimes with the modern technology we get too sophisticated and we try to calculate everything using computers, but sometimes it's better not to. Anyway, so tonight, since we just finished with the cottage, Janmashtami, actually we're coming upon Radhashtami next week, next Sunday, this coming Sunday. So anyways, I wanted to speak about Krishna's appearance in relationship to something that is very interesting, and that's called demons. And I think you've all heard about demons, right? Okay, so I want to make some reference to a book by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur called the Chaitanya Shikshamrita. I don't know if any of you heard of this book before. This Chaitanya Shikshamrita. Wow, so much technology. Wish we were back in the villages. Things were nice and quiet and everyone. So this Chaitanya Shikshamrita, in addition, it actually has a lot of, Shikshamrita means, Shiksha means lessons or instructions. Amrita means nectar. So the nectar of Lord Chaitanya's instructions. So it teaches about many different things. Also how to relate to people in different religions, you know, how to see God in everybody's religion, how to be liberal, how to live your life and understand you have basic human needs as well as spiritual needs. Sometimes spiritualists forget this. Like we have what's called a hierarchy of needs. Anyone's heard of this expression before? Hierarchy of needs. So that means we need air, we need light, we need food, we need water, basic stuff. And we need friendship, we need our own sense of autonomy. These are all different basic human needs. And also we have the spiritual need, the Bhaktivinoda Thakura. And this Chaitanya Shikshamrita mentions that without fulfilling our basic human needs, the spiritual needs can't be fulfilled either. It's interesting, isn't it? Sometimes you find spiritualists who are so far up there and they neglect their basic human needs and they may go a little crazy as a result of that. Or succumb to greed or other, what we call anarthas. Anartha means unwanted thing. Artha means, sometimes wealth it means in Sanskrit, but in general, it means something you desire. So anartha means something you don't desire or something you want to get rid of. Everybody's following me? So Chaitanya Shikshamrita teaches about that. But what I wanted to speak about this evening was Chaitanya Shikshamrita's description of the demons, some of the demons in Krishna's pastimes. Because each of these demons, in addition to being real demons, it's not simply a metaphorical story. Everybody knows what a metaphorical story is. A metaphorical story means it's not a real story. It refers to something else. Like this, in the West, there's this one story, what, Alice in Wonderland. I don't know if any of you have heard of that story. But it's a story that refers to someone who took drugs. and they teach it to the children, which is interesting. It's about someone who took this drug, LSD. The author is named Lewis Carroll. And anyway, the people don't understand that. So it's a metaphorical story about rabbits and going down a hole and things like that. So there's a lot of metaphorical stories around that refer to something else. But the stories of Krishna killing the demons are not metaphorical stories, simply metaphorical stories. They're actually real. Krishna did kill Putana. Krishna did kill Trinavarta. Krishna did kill Kamsa. But in addition to that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this great acharya, who is the spiritual master of Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who is the spiritual master of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, he taught us there is an indication that each demon refers to a specific anartha, or unwanted thing, or maybe more than one anartha. So it's very interesting. So let's discuss, because Krishna's pastimes can be understood on many different levels. I mean, one level that we can understand Krishna's pastimes is that Krishna came down to show us what he's like, so we'll get attracted to him. Another level is that Krishna came down to Parichranaya Sadunam Vinashaya Chatushkritam. Everybody knows that verse from Bhagavad Gita? Came down to annihilate the miscreants, establish religious principles, and protect the devotees. So there's many different ways or levels of seeing Krishna's pastimes in this earth planet. But let's talk about the demons. All right. So the first demon is mentioned in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, even before the specific demon is mentioned, there's mention of a whole bunch of demons. And what happens is that this earth planet is a refuge, or was a refuge, for demons before Krishna appeared. The demons were running away from the demigods, and they came down to the earth planet and took birth on the earth planet. It's something. Did any of you ever see this movie, Star Wars? Anyone here ever see? I'm sure you all have. You just won't admit it. But it's like there was a Death Star. You know what I'm talking about. So the demons running away from the demigods took birth on the earth planet, and that's why the earth was overburdened with demoniac kings. And these kings, or leaders, were far worse than the leaders we have today in the world. Far worse than Saddam Hussein or Gaddafi or anything. The people we have now are just plain old little materialists. You know, people who put money in Swiss bank accounts and steal from the people. That's just, you know, plain old little demons. But the demons who took birth on the earth planet were the big, big demons. I mean, you've got people like Jarasandha, Kamsa, Shishupal, right? And so these were not ordinary demons. I mean, like for example, you don't have Saddam Hussein being able to fly through the air. Or Gaddafi turning himself into a whirlwind or something like that. You don't have that. I mean, these are just like puny little nothings. So anyway, Krishna took birth because the earth was overburdened with these demoniac personalities who were in charge. And we all know the story. The earth went to Lord Brahma. Bhumi went to Lord Brahma to complain. And Lord Brahma went to Lord Vishnu. Vishnu said to come down. He would come down. And he told the demigods to appear. So this fight was actually like an interstellar fight. That word means interplanetary. Interstellar, interplanetary. It was like an interplanetary. It's like something out of science fiction, but it wasn't fiction. So they came down, and so Krishna came, the demigods came, demigods took birth in the Yadu dynasty and other things. And Krishna's eternal associates also came down. So actually, let's start with the first demon that Krishna killed. So when Krishna appeared, let me tell a story about Krishna's birth. Sometimes it is understood that Krishna is the son of Devaki and Vasudeva, right? But it's interesting that the really internal esoteric story is that Krishna took birth from Mother Yashoda. There were two children, Krishna and his sister Yogamaya, who took birth from Mother Yashoda. Did you ever hear this story before, Shukadev? It's an interesting story. And an expansion of Krishna took birth from Devaki. So what happened is that Vasudev, when he took Krishna, and he was taking Krishna, transporting Krishna to Vrindavan, to Gokul, actually Gokul is part of Vrindavan. Gokul is on the eastern bank of the Jamuna. Later on, Krishna moved to Vrindavan, around where the city of Vrindavan is, and then later on he moved to Nandagram. So there's actually three places where Krishna lived. And Radharani, does anyone know where Radharani was born or appeared? Ravel. Ravel. Did you know that? She appeared in Ravel. And most people say Radharani appeared in Vaishnava, but that would have been impossible. Why? Because Krishna was all the way in Gokul. And that's the other side of Braj. Braj is a very big area. Has anyone here been to Braj or Vrindavan? Yeah. So you know. Has anyone been to Gokul here? No. Gokul, very hard to get to Gokul. It's on the other side of the Jamuna. There wasn't a bridge at that time. And the chief minister of UP had not yet constructed any highways. You know, Mayavati. Anyway, she had not constructed any highways, so there's a Jamuna Expressway now being completed. So, and Varshana is all the way on the other side of Braj. But Krishna and Radharani, they associated even when they were little babies. In fact, there's the story of Radharani, she was born blind until she was able to come in contact with Krishna. Then her eyes opened for the first time. Did you know that? Then her eyes opened for the first time. So Radharani appeared in Ravel. And the Brajavasis know that. I mean, she appeared in Ravel, which is right next to Gokul. Later on, when Krishna moved to, and Nanda Maharaj moved to Nandagram, then she moved to Varshana at that time. So there were like three stages of the moving there. That's very important. Okay. So as far as Krishna's appearance is concerned, Krishna, the expansion of Krishna was transported by Vasudev to Gokul, and that expansion entered into the original Krishna. But Krishna was actually born from Mother Yashoda. And then Vasudev took back Yogamaya to the jail cell in which he was imprisoned. And Kamsa attempted to kill Yogamaya, and of course we know Yogamaya flew in the air, she had eight arms, and she said to Kamsa, that the person who was supposed to kill you has already been born in Gokul. And then Kamsa got very angry, and what did he do? Actually, well, let's tell the story about Kamsa before I forget about Kamsa. Because I want to talk about the demons. You know, I have some notes here about these demons, but Kamsa, it's very interesting, in his previous birth was this demon named Kalanemi. And Kamsa killed six children of Devaki and Vasudev. And these six children were called the Sadgarbhas. That means the six garbhas, six womb, you know, children from the womb. And these children were killed because previously they had been cursed by their grandfather Hiranyakashipu, because they took shelter of Lord Brahma instead of him. And so therefore they were cursed by Hiranyakashipu to be killed by their father, who was Kalanemi. And that's why Kalanemi took birth as Kamsa, to kill his previous sons from previous birth. Does everyone understand that? Later, so these six were not exactly pure devotees before, but they became pure devotees when later on Krishna rescued them and brought them back to Mother Devaki, and Devaki gave them milk from her breasts, and they became purified because that milk was Krishna's remnants. So they took prasadam. You understand? And that's how they got purified, by taking prasadam. Actually, taking prasadam can purify the most sinful person when you take Mahaprasadam. That's all right. It doesn't bother me. Let them play. As long as they don't play cartoons. So, I'll tell you one story about how purifying prasadam is. This has nothing to do with Krishna's pastimes, but anyway. So, once upon a time, Srila Prabhupada was in an airplane, and he was eating this preparation called chidwa. And he was, you know, very tasty preparation. He was eating chidwa. And the airline stewardess came by and just wanted to taste it, and took it from Prabhupada's plate, and put it in her mouth and ate it. And the devotees were shocked. She said, oh, it's very tasty. And so they never saw that airline stewardess again. Later on, the devotees, this was on a, I think, Brazilian Airlines flight or something like that. Varig, it's called Varig, Brazilian Airlines. So later on, the devotees were in Brazil in some village, and they went to someone's home, knocked on someone's door to give them some books. And what happened is that they discovered that there was a whole temple in this home. It was a far-out village that no devotee had ever gone to before. And they saw this lady there worshiping Krishna and chanting japa with pictures of Prabhupada and everything on the altar. And they asked, you know, how did you learn about Krishna consciousness? And she said that many years ago, I met this gentleman in the airplane and took some Mahaprasadam. And then I looked up his name and I got all of his books, and I'm just following the directions in the books. So that's the power of Mahaprasadam. It has the power to purify. So that's the story of Devaki's sons that got killed. So let's go back to Kamsa. Okay. So Kamsa, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he represents what we call aggressive materialism. I mean, someone who's really greedy for power. And like we say in the Western world, what, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. And you see that all the time. That when someone gets a position of power, that it goes to their head and it corrupts them. And so this power tries to push down real religion or keep real religion from appearing. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes. So, of course, Kamsa was killed by Krishna ultimately. But the first demon that Kamsa sent to kill Krishna was who? Does anyone know? Putana. And Putana is a very interesting person too. She actually represents false gurus. Because Putana was like a witch, but she made herself extremely beautiful. She looked so beautiful that they thought the demigoddesses, or a demigoddess, had descended from the higher planets. They thought maybe it's Lakshmi, and she's come down. So in the same way, sometimes you have these pseudo means false. These false gurus or false spiritualists who do so many, like they may do little tricks or something like that, or have some bogus philosophy, like I'm God, you're God, we're all God. Sounds good, doesn't it? If I'm God, then there's no surrender. I just surrender myself. You know, when Krishna says, Sarva Dharmam Parichaya, Mame Kam Shananam Braja, that's me. Pretty good. It's easy. So, or one famous person from India said, Yato Mat Tato Pat, right? You ever hear that before? Which basically said, you know, which is basically similar to the hippie philosophy, do your own thing. From the 1960s. So, so Putana, very interesting personality. In her previous life, she was Ratna Mala. She was the sister of Bali Maharaj. And what happened with Bali Maharaj is that he was a demon. He had conquered over the whole universe, taken over the heavenly planets. So Aditi, the mother of the demigods, prayed for Krishna to help. And as a result, Krishna appeared as her son, and her son's name was what? Starts with a V. Vamandev. Yeah, Vamandev, the dwarf Brahman. So Vamandev appeared at the assembly of Bali Maharaj, and Vamandev was so attractive that Bali Maharaj's sister, she looked at him, and she said, I want to have him as my son. immediately she felt this maternal affection for him. She said, oh, I'd love to have him as my son. And she just was crying in ecstasy. But when Vamanadeva pulled his trick of taking everything away from Bali Maharaj, you know, the three steps, Trivikram, he stepped over the earth, stepped through the universe, then put his third step on Bali Maharaj's head and pushed him down to the nether regions of the universe, to the lower regions of the universe. When Vamanadeva did that, she got angry because it was her brother. And she said, I may become his mother, but I want to kill him too. So that's why she had this sort of mixed motive. See, all the demons, there's a background to each of the demons. So she had this mixed motive. So when she picked up Krishna, she actually felt maternal affection. And Krishna, he closed his eyes because he understood it's not really the best thing to go killing women. Although, you find also in Lord Ramchandra's pastimes, the first demon that Lord Ramchandra killed was a woman, right? What was her name? Kadaka. Yeah. So you see, it's interesting. So Krishna is equal to men and women. He's not chauvinistic. He'll kill a lady just as easily as he kills a man. So Krishna killed Putana, but he was so merciful to her that he actually accepted the good part and neglected the bad part. That he accepted her as his mother and neglected the fact that she wanted to kill him. That's nice. So she went back to the spiritual world. So I want to read some words from Bhakti Vinod Thakur about this. And it's very interesting. This is actually quite interesting, too, for us. The attempted success of Putana over the genuine spiritual teachers is aided by the efforts of organized religion, which is atheism in the garb of theism. Try to understand what that's saying. What Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying is not that organized religion is bad, but when a religion becomes organized and people forget about the actual essence of the religion, or institutionalized, it becomes more like a business. And when it becomes like a business, you know, when people are interested in pound, shilling, pence, or rupees, or dollars, depending on what country you're in, then the whole essence of the religion becomes lost. When you get too stratified, bureaucratized, then he compares that to Putana. And he's also said, his son, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, said that in the history of religion, that most of the times the religious or the spiritual impulse becomes destroyed by the institution, of religion. So it's a great challenge, like an ISKCON or any religious institution or a spiritual institution, to maintain the actual spirit, not to lose it, not just to become official like building buildings or collecting money or collecting disciples or becoming a famous person. Like we see oftentimes, people may lecture even on Srimad Bhagavatam just for the sake of making money or for the sake of becoming famous or something. And they neglect the real spirit of bhakti, because the real spirit of Krishna consciousness is bhakti or devotion. I mean, we can judge someone's advancement by how much they're actually detached from this world, how much they love Krishna, and how much knowledge they have about Krishna. This is the standard. You can judge someone's spiritual advancement, not by what position they have. So we often become confused by positions, right? Like if someone has, like in ISKCON, someone has a big position like GBC, like myself, they think, oh, yes, like that. He must be advanced. But with bhakti, the humble person who is cleaning the pots or the street may be more advanced than the person who's sitting on the vyasasa. Interesting, isn't it? So this external understanding of religion is similar to Putana's attempt to bewilder people. Does everyone follow the point? It's actually a very important point. Bhakti of Vinod Thakur and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur made. The external manifestation is not the essence of religion. The essence is the love that someone feels, the ecstasy, the happiness, and the willingness that one has even to go to hell to serve Krishna. Like the gopis. They were simple village girls. I mean, who were they? They weren't kings. They weren't brahmanas. They were just simple village girls. But when Narada Muni was looking to cure Krishna's headache, I think you know this story, right? The cure for Krishna's headache was the dust from the devotee's feet. Now you all know that, like, to put your feet on someone or to give the dust from your feet. I mean, nobody does that. It's just like even Prabhupada said, you shouldn't be moving furniture around with your feet. But sometimes we do that, isn't it? We take our feet and just push, you know, whatever. Push it around. But Prabhupada said not even to move furniture or touch anything with your feet except for the floor. That you can touch. So Narada Muni was told that the cure for Krishna's headache is the dust from the devotee's feet. So he went to all these big, big devotees. And he said, would you give the dust from your feet? And these big, big devotees said, no, I'm not. That would mean I'm going to hell. But then he went to the gopis, and he said to the gopis, would you do this? And they said, take immediately. And Narada Muni said, aren't you afraid of going to hell? And the gopis said, that's all right. We will go to hell, but we want Krishna's headache to be cured. So that's the bhakti that we really want to get to. That, of course, we're not interested in going to hell. But the willingness, just the consideration that Krishna's happiness is the most important thing. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays in the eighth prayer of Shikshastika, Ashlishava Pada Anashtu Mam, Adarshana Mam Gurutuva. That Krishna, you're my Lord. Whether you crush me by your embrace, leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You're completely free to do anything and everything. That's love. Everything else is just, you know, external. But that's really the goal of Krishna consciousness. And people forget that. People forget that all the time. You know, especially if you get a position like mine in the movement, you forget. You think, oh, the goal is to be prominent. But the goal is to love. And that's happiness. Yayatma supersedite, as Bhagavatam says. Savai bhum sambara dharma, yato bhakti yahoksaje haitakiya pratyata yatma supersedite. Okay, so that's Putana. We'll finish with Putana. There's a lot more I can say about Putana, and there's a lot more quotes from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So there's another one. The next one is, the next demon Krishna killed is called a Shakata Sura demon. That's the cart demon. So what happened is that Krishna was under this cart, and Mother Yashoda put him there, and the demon was going to kill Krishna, but Krishna kicked the cart and killed the demon. So the demon had actually taken the form or entered into the cart, and Krishna destroyed him at that time. So this cart demon represents the anarthas we're talking about. He represents all of our bad habits that we've accumulated in this life and previous life. And also he represents lethargy and dullness. So we have so many habits. I mean, just like sometimes you tell people that you should change your diet. You know, if someone's eating meat. For example, this meat eating, or the raising of meat and the killing of the cows or so many other animals, is the single most, the largest factor responsible for global warming. Did you know that? The transportation of meat, the raising of meat, the methane that comes from, you know, all the animals out there, the lakes of sewage. I mean, just like today we were talking about how to treat the sewerage in Mayapur, right? Recirculating the sewerage and everything like that and creating energy and everything like that. And then in the West, there's so many rules on how to deal with sewerage. but they don't have any rules how to deal with the sewage from the pigs. Like the state I come from, North Carolina, there's about 12 million people and about 50 million pigs. Pretty good, isn't it? If the pigs could vote, we'd all be in trouble. So people, and I'm getting to the point. So people have all these habits. You point out the facts. This is killing you. Or like cigarettes. You know, meat eating is one thing. Killing you, killing the environment. Or like cigarettes. They're now going to put pictures of people who have lung cancer on the cigarette packages. That's the latest thing. Pictures of the lungs, pictures of people dying. But it's not going to change the consumption. It's amazing, isn't it? Or they raise the prices. The taxes are very high. I remember when I was young, because I never smoked cigarettes, but a pack of cigarettes was 35 cents. And I just read that in New York, you buy it sometimes $10 per pack or something like that. But that doesn't change it because people have all these habits, these bad habits, and they don't change the bad habits. That's called conditioning. So Krishna consciousness is meant to change the bad habits, to actually give us some good habits. So this cart demon represents these bad habits. So Krishna kicks apart these bad habits, this lethargy and dullness that we're so much accustomed to. And here's the story about this cart demon before. That in his previous life, he was the son of the demon named Hiranyaksha. And his name was Utkacha. And he created some disturbance in the ashram of Lomasa Rishi. And because he did that, Lomasa Rishi cursed him to become a cart. And then he begged for forgiveness, and Lomasa Rishi said, you'll become a cart, but you'll be kicked by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and liberated by the Supreme Lord. That's very nice. So that's the background of the demon, and also the anartha he refers to. So if we read about these demons and understand these things, it'll help us also to overcome these anarthas. Just like Prabhupada said, if we read about Krishna's dancing with the gopis, it'll help us overcome lust. Because then we'll see that Krishna's loving affairs are much more attractive than any loving affairs of this world. It's like some of you may have watched Bollywood films, right? You know what a Bollywood film is? No. Anyway, so many loving stories. Just like one of my friends is a Bollywood actor, Vivek Oberoi. Maybe you've heard of him before. He helps with some of the charitable programs I'm doing in India. So I never watched any of his films, but I've seen the way Bollywood stars are. Like he comes. One time he was wearing a mustache, and he twirled it, and all the girls were going like that. They're very attractive. Like that. So when we hear about mundane, lusty things, our attraction for mundane lust increases. But when we hear about Krishna, who is the most attractive person, more attractive than any Bollywood star, then we lose our attraction for these things. So that's the cure. So anyway, by hearing about these anarthas and the demons they represent and Krishna killing the demons, it'll help us overcome these things. So another demon... Maybe I'll just finish with one more demon because it's late already. The next demon is the Trinavarta, or the whirlwind demon. He was the demon who picked up Krishna. It was like the hurricane that's coming, actually, or a tornado, or far worse. And these are friends of Krishna, friends of Kamsa, sorry. These are friends of Kamsa, too. So he picked up Krishna, took him in the air, and Krishna grabbed him around the neck. Krishna made himself very heavy, so the demon fell to the ground, and the demon died. So this demon represents pride arising from material scholarship, which gives one false pride. It leads one to argument and debate things and think that one is better or more intelligent than others. Queen Kunti also says simply something similar. She says that one becomes bewildered because of Janmaishwarya Shrutashra Shibir, because of one's so-called high birth, one's wealth, or one's beauty. in this world or one's intelligence. Janmaishwarya Shrutasya. There it is. Shrutasya means one's intelligence. So one becomes very, very proud and becomes like a bag of hot air. So Trinavarta was like was like a bag of hot air. And when we hear about him, it helps us destroy our false pride. How Krishna dragged him to the ground. And so, according to the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, this Trinavarta was once a king named Saharaksha, who was cursed by Durvasa Muni, because Durvasa Muni was sitting there trying to meditate, and this king appeared before him with his 1,000 wives, and he was naked, and he was enjoying with his 1,000 wives. So he was cursed to live on earth for 100,000 years, and then be killed by Krishna. So, anyway, so these are some of the stories of the demons. Very interesting stories. And so, if you have any questions or comments about these things, I don't want to go out too late, because tomorrow I think most of you work, right? And it's already almost 9:15. So it would be nice if we read this book, the Chaitanya Shikshamrita, read about Krishna's pastimes. We become free from lust, anger, greed, illusional. That's what the anarthas are. Kama, krodha, mada, matsarya, bharya, bhaya, lust, anger, illusion, fear, envy. These things are actually keeping us from being happy. If you really want to be happy, then you have to give up these things. And the only way, you can't give up these things by trying to give them up. Can't, what do they say? You can't do a don't. It's impossible to do a negative. If I say to you, give up anger, can you do it? No. The only way is by a positive. And the positive is to hear and chant about Krishna. And you can actually use anger in Krishna's service. Like Hanuman did. Right? Hanuman and Lakshman and all sorts of different associates of Krishna used anger in Krishna's service. So all these things, when used in Krishna's service and you hear about Krishna, will help you overcome the anarthas that keep you separate from your original spiritual identity, which keeps you separate from being happy. Because everyone wants to be happy. That's all we want. We really want to be happy. We just don't know where to look for that happiness. So, any questions or comments? Yeah.
I was just thinking about the Ratnavali, the desire that she had.
Yeah.
Going back to, you know, the desires that devotees have, any desires that devotees have, if it helps the devotee in his devotional life,
yeah.
If it's favorable, Krishna grants it.
Right.
In the case of Ratnavali, the first one was favorable. She wanted to have Supreme Lord as son.
Son.
But the second one, I'm not sure how that was favorable to Ratnavali.
You know how it was favorable?
Because
it kept her meditating on Krishna. You know, in anger, you could think of someone more intently than you can think of someone almost in love. You ever been angry with someone? Don't you think of them a lot? It's not favorable. I mean, obviously. Prabhupada actually went, several times he said, if you have to hate someone, hate Krishna. Because you'll think of him 24 hours a day. So Kamsa was thinking of Krishna 24 hours. Hiranyakashipu was thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day. And so that was, I'm not saying it was favorable, but it kept her focused on Krishna. And I'll tell you an interesting story about one demon who became a devotee. You all know the story about Surpanaka, right? That means the lady with the long nails. So Surpanaka, of course, was Ravana's sister, and she was flying through the air. She fell in love with Lord Ram. And she just, like, changed her form, her body, because she was Rakshasi. She could change into something very beautiful. So she landed, and she said, you know, hi, Ram. And Ram said, basically, you know, I have a wife already. It'd be a little bit of a problem. But my brother, his wife's not with him, Lakshman. So she went over to Lakshman and she said, hi, Lakshman. And Lakshman said, basically, if you married me, you'd be in trouble because I'm a servant. We'd always have to be serving Rama and Sita Devi. And And then Lakshmana said, I'm sure that if you go back that he'll soon lose interest in that girl with the thin waist. Because Surpanaka had a pot belly. Or what they call in the West, a beer belly. Anyway, you know, pot belly. Of course, in India, it's called a Brahmin belly. You know, the Brahmins in South India, they have bellies like this. So she but for ladies, it's not so attractive. So Surpanaka went back, and she eventually discovered that that they were just like teasing her, and she got very angry. And then Ram, Lakshman did a nosectomy and an earectomy. That means he cut off the ears and nose and other things too. And she went away screaming. We all know that. But she was in love, still in love with Ram. So she still had that concept that she really wanted to marry Ram. So later on, she appeared as, anyone know? No. In Krishna's past, and when Krishna entered into Mathura, Pubja. Yeah, when Krishna entered into Mathura, he saw this lady preparing sandalwood for Kamsa. And she was like hunchbacked. And she just bent over like that. And then Krishna asked for the sandalwood, and she was glad. She was very attracted to Krishna. She gave it to Krishna, and Krishna grabbed her by the cheeks, and he did a chiropractic. You know, chiropractic. Straightened up her back. Krishna's the expert chiropractor, you know. You know how chiropractors snap things? So he snapped her back up. And then she got a chance to associate with Krishna. Interesting, isn't it? So there's an idea of mixed motives. And she got a chance to associate with Krishna in that way. So you see, from one lifetime to another, even the sages of Dandakaranya Forest, it's described that many of them had realized their spiritual identity and they had fallen in love with Lord Ram. And they actually spiritually wanted to, you know, in their spiritual bodies, they wanted to marry Lord Ram. And Lord Ram said, Ekapatni Vrata, I've taken this vow of one putni, you know, one wife in this life. And so they had to appear as the gopis. They appeared, many of the Braja gopis were the Dandakaranya sages who took birth as gopis just to have an association with Krishna. So you see this happening from life to life, so many different things. So, of course, our mentality is shaped by past lives too. Like this first verse of the Shikshastika, Jeto Darpa Namashram, the heart becomes purified or cleared up by the chanting of Hare Krishna, but that dirt that we have in the heart has been accumulated for many, many births. So many of the habits we have, many of the personality traits come from past births, not only from this birth. So anyway, so you see connections from one birth to another, whether someone becomes a devotee of Krishna or someone has demoniac habits. And also it takes many births generally for someone to become a pure devotee of Krishna. Krishna says, Bohanam Janmanamantik, Ganavan Mam Papatute, Vasudeva Sarvaviti, right? Samahatma Sudurlaba. It takes, after many, many births, someone who's actually in knowledge understands Vasudeva Sarvaviti. The Vasudeva is everything, Krishna is everything. And such a great soul is very rare. So even in our own progress of Krishna consciousness, we have to be ready to make gradual progress as quickly as possible. And also in our dealing with others, we have to be patient. One thing I've learned from being a guru is of patience. When I first took up this service, I was thinking I could make everybody Krishna conscious in 5 minutes or less. What is that? You know, take a pill or something. But it doesn't work like that. You can't force it. It's like trying to force a child to grow up. Like if you say to our friend right now, just sit down and read. It's not going to happen, right? You know, anyway, so you have to wait. Natural progress. He'll grow up sometime. He'll be reading. He'll be an airline pilot or whatever he's going to do when he gets older. Or sannyasi. Either one of the two things. or a sannyasi airline pilot. Such a thing exists. So it's so with our own spiritual progress and in dealing with others, we have to be extremely patient. Like with your children or your friends or husband and wife, to be patient with each other as far as its spiritual advancement. You can't force it. If you force someone to do something, they want to do the opposite. Especially with children, isn't it? And you don't want someone to do something they don't really want to do, because then it's not from the heart. And bhakti has to come from the heart rather than just externally. Okay, any other questions? Yeah. That's what I said, yeah. Before he was taken to Mathura, I mean to Vrindavan, sorry, he did drink one time. Yeah. And also there was another time when Krishna first was brought back by Akura, Devaki also felt so much maternal affection to Krishna. So there was two times. But once before Krishna left, yes, you fed him one time. It's not mentioned specifically, but the Acharyas talk about that. So a lot of the stories, or the esoteric stuff that I'm talking about, is coming from Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, one of the Acharyas who commented on the Bhagavatam. Especially the story of Yashoda having two children, like twins. That's coming from Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. And some of you may have heard that story before, too.
And Balaram came twice.
Balaram is a very similar story, too, because Balaram is actually the son of Rohini, but the expansion of Balaram, what you're saying is true.
Yeah.
The expansion of Balaram was transferred and entered into the original Balaram from Devaki's womb. You understand? So it wasn't... It's Balaram. I mean, and we're not talking about two different persons, but when we talk about Krishna expanding, it's Krishna manifesting less of his, let's say, opulence or his total beauty. So Balaram, his expansion was in the womb of Devaki, and that expansion was transferred by Yogamaya into the womb of Rohini, and the expansion entered into the original Balaram, and Rohini was the original mother of Balaram. Yeah, so it's a similar story there. And, of course, we're coming up upon Radhastami. And Radha Rani's appearance day is this Sunday. Is it Sunday here? Or?
Yeah, September 4th.
Sunday here?
Yeah, Sunday.
Okay. Different places, different days, so it's hard to figure out. So Sunday, so it's a very important day to worship Radha Rani, who's the Adi Shakti, the Ladini, the pleasure potency of Krishna. Because without her mercy, no one can approach Krishna. All right? Yeah, another question. Yes. Yeah, Balaram appeared. What's that?
It was not 1 year ago.
Like, no, 15 days before Krishna. 15 days before Krishna. It wasn't 1 year before. And, Radharani also appeared on the Ashtami. Just like Krishna appeared on the Ashtami. There's Radha Ashtami and Janmashtami. And it's interesting. One other thing about the Vedic calendar is very interesting. That every once in a while you have this extra month, Purushottama Mas. You know about that? So next year, Radhastami is like a month, I think it's a month and a half after Janmashtami. Isn't that interesting? I just discovered that when I was looking at next year's calendar. Because you have the leap month or the Purushottama Mas in between Janmashtami and Radhastami. So Radhastami is like the 20-something of September, and Janmashtami is the 9th of August.
Wow.
It's amazing, isn't it? I've never seen that before. But, because the moon cycle is there and it doesn't exactly coincide with the sun cycle, then you have to keep adding the leap month, the Purushottama Mas. At different times. It's added differently at different years. And I don't know exactly why it's added. But it's also considered a very special month for worshiping Krishna. If you go to Govardhan, you'll see that during that Purushottama Mass, there are many people there circumambulating Govardhan. It's just almost like a second Kartik month for people in Braj. It's almost like that. Oh, one thing I wanted to mention before I end. Oh, yeah. So I just wanted, some of you know about this project. We have this school at Govardhan that we're going to be building. And we have the land already. I don't know how much I mentioned last time or the time before. But we have 2 acres of land about 1 kilometer away from Radhakund, right on the Parikrama path of Govardhan. And we have this Sandapani Muni school. Already we have 3 schools functioning in the city of Vrindavan. We have about 1,800 kids going to school. So this is the 4th school of the Sandapani. And it's meant for the poorest of the poor children there. And it's very important to change the culture. Not change Krishna consciousness, of course. But there's a lot of aspects of the culture. Like the pollution, for example. You know, today we were talking about, in the last few days, we've been talking about the Jamuna being polluted. I think most of you know about this. That the Jamuna, what you see is Jamuna water in Braj is not actually Jamuna water. It's actually the Delhi sewerage water. Because the Jamuna is blocked before that. They use it for irrigation. And the Delhi sewerage water is not treated water, not treated sewerage. So there, we want to establish in Braj like a culture of, you know, cleanliness, education, kindness, just something that will be attractive and good for the people of Braj, but attractive to people all over the world. And the way to change a culture is to work with the young people. You know, somehow or other, like, it's harder to change older people. I'm not going to say the quote that Prabhupada made about that, that you can't teach it, blank, 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 blank. Anyway. So, but it's important also to serve the Brajabasi. So I've taken this as one of my main projects. So if anyone's interested, I have brochures here. And also, we can pass, you can all look at these things. This is just pictures, but I want to pass these around so you can see. Just these two you can pass around to everybody. Just see the changes that are being made with some of the children there. And the... This is a very good organization. It's called Food for Life Vrindavan. And this is a wonderful website. And many children have been helped and changed by this program. So I just wanted to mention that again. I know some of you have heard me talk about it before when I've been here before. All right. Any other questions?
All right, I always get confused by what Mataji asked.
Yeah.
Because Balaram was seventh child of Yashoda, I mean Devaki. So,
but actually son of Rohini.
Right. So Yogamaya transferred Balaram to.
Rohini had. It's a funny story. Rohini already had Balaram in her womb. So Balaram expands just like Krishna expands. If you want to get really technical, there's something called the Chaturvyuha expansions. You know, first of all, there's Krishna expansion, Balaram, and then from Balaram you get all the Chaturvyuha, which is Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Prajuna, and Aniruddha. Like when Lord Ramchandra appeared, you know, you had Ram, Lakshman, Satrughna, and Bart. So that's the Chaturvyuha, Vishnu expansions. So anyway, so Balaram expanded, and that expansion was the one who appeared in the womb of Devaki. And it was Yogamaya who transferred that expansion into the womb of Rohini, but that expansion, because expansion of Balaram, entered into the original Balaram. I mean, as far as the technique that they do that, yeah, that's science that I'm not... I may be good at electrical engineering, but I'm not... I don't understand the techniques of Krishna. I understand sometimes why Krishna does something, I don't understand the how.
He does it. Was seventh child, they all thought it was aborted.
Yeah, they all thought it was miscarriage, not an abortion.
Miscarriage.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But then, you know, for the 8th child, it means 9 more months. But then, how come it's only 15 days after the miscarriage?
That's a good question. That's a good question. Yeah, but it was only 15 days. That's what they did there. Maybe they thought it was an abortion. I mean, maybe they thought it was a false miscarriage or something like that. Because they didn't really see the fetus. You understand what I mean? So they didn't see the fetus. So perhaps they thought, well, she maybe had a miscarriage. And then they found out later she didn't have a miscarriage. Like that. And actually, Kamsa only saw Yogamaya, or Durga, at that point. He didn't actually see Krishna at that point. So any other questions? Yeah.
We celebrate Krishna Janmashtami as what basically born deity.
Yeah, well, the Krishna was born. Krishna's expansions are all the same as Krishna anyway. Advaita Chuta Nadu Rananta Rupa. When we talk about God expanding, there's no difference between Rama and Krishna either. It's just that Krishna exhibits less of his, let's say, opulence, six opulences, and his sweetness in his expansions than he does, or like Prabhupada, let's give it an example of Prabhupada. It's like a man going to the office. When the man is home, he has a very sweet, intimate relationship with his family. But when he's in his office, he usually doesn't have a sweet, intimate relationship with his employees. It's like, I heard Sugata talking on the phone to someone today. It wasn't an employee, but someone he was doing business with. And he was chastising him. And he said, don't be offended by what I'm saying, but we got to make this right. And I said, he'd never talk to his wife like that. Isn't it? I mean, is it? No one in this room, I don't think. I hope not. No, it was someone somewhere else. It was a Western person. He said, now don't be offended, but this has to be right. And I said, boy, Shukadev, you've never talked like that before. So that's an official relationship, right? It's not that you're going to reveal to this person the intimate details of your life. But when you go home, you know, you have your family and your children and everything. It's a different relationship. So basically, like Prabhupada said, God at the office is Lord Vishnu. And God at home is Krishna and Vrindavan. So that's the difference. So we're not saying there's two gods, but so anyway, that's what we mean by expansion. You know, the Krishna, the expansion, and then original Krishna. So it's also right to say that Krishna is the son of Devaki. It's also right to say Devaki Nandana. Right? But it's also correct to say Yashoda Nandana. And Nanda Nandana. I've never heard Vasudeva Nandana. Have you? Never heard that. Actually, between Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda loves Krishna more than Nanda Maharaj. Of course, they both love Krishna completely, but Yashoda, the mother's love is deeper, right? With children, too, it's like that, isn't it? Mother's love is deeper, usually, than the father's love. All right, any other questions? If not, we have prasadam and it's late, right? What's that?
We'll have an
RT. Oh, we have an RT?
For you.
An RT for me? What for? Should be for Krishna, not for me.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Maharaj, for enlightening everybody. Actually, it's very nice. Maharaj came right before. The two incidents always happen when Maharaj comes.
Uh-oh.
He comes and